This is VOA News. I'm Tommy McNeil. The U.S. House has approved a $95 billion package of foreign aid for Ukraine, Israel, and other U.S. allies after months of turmoil on Capitol Hill. Congressional leaders pushed aside opposition from hard-right conservatives to complete the bill in a rare Saturday session. U.S. House Speaker Mike Johnson spoke to reporters after that vote.
I've said it very simply. I'll say it once again. It's an old military adage, but we would rather send bullets to the conflict overseas than our own boys, our troops. And I think this is an important moment, an important opportunity to make that decision. We allowed the House to do that, and I expect the Senate will make the same decision.
The Senate would still need to approve the measures in the coming days, and President Joe Biden has promised to sign that package. Earlier in the week, during an address at the George W. Bush Presidential Center Forum on Leadership, CIA Director William Burns warned of a very real risk the Ukrainians could lose on the battlefield by the end of 2024 without aid from the United States.
So, you know, with the boost that would come from military assistance, both practically and psychologically, I think the Ukrainians are entirely capable of holding their own through 2024 and puncturing Putin's arrogant view that time is on his side.
Burns added,
"We're at a tough moment. Ukrainians are at a tough moment on the battlefield right now. The Ukrainians are not running out of courage and tenacity. They're running out of ammunition.
Ukrainian
we're
president
running out of time to help."
Zelensky expressed gratitude on Saturday for the House's passage of the bill. Iraqi authorities say they're investigating an explosion that struck a base belonging to the Popular Mobilization Forces, a coalition of Iran-allied militias, overnight, killing one person and injuring eight. Militia officials initially described the explosion. The U.S. Central Command has denied that Iran's claims that it carried out the airstrikes. This is VOA News. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken will travel to China this coming week as Washington and Beijing try to keep ties on an even keel despite major differences on a range of issues from the Middle East to opioids. The U.S. and China are at odds over Russia's war in Ukraine as well as North Korean Hong Kong, along with Taiwan and the South China Sea. Blinken's trip follows a phone call this month between President Joe Biden, Chinese leader Xi Jinping, in which they pledge to keep high-level contacts open. Since then, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen has visited China, and Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin has spoken by phone with his Chinese counterpart. Two Japanese Navy helicopters have crashed in the Pacific Ocean. VOA's Alexis Strode with details.
Japan's defense minister says two Japanese Navy helicopters are believed to have crashed in the Pacific Ocean south of Tokyo during nighttime training. Defense Minister Minoru Kiara told reporters the two SH-60K helicopters, carrying four crew each, lost contact late Saturday near Torishima Island in the Pacific south of Tokyo. One of the eight crew members was recovered from the waters, but their condition was unknown. The officials were still searching for the other seven. Kiara said the cause of the crash was not immediately known. Eight warships and five aircraft were deployed for the search and rescue of the missing crew. I'm Alexis Strope, VOA News.
U.S. President Joe Biden Saturday signed legislation reauthorizing a key U.S. surveillance law over divisions after whether the FBI should be restricted from using the program to search for Americans' data nearly forced the statute to lapse, barely missing its midnight deadline. The Senate had approved the bill by 60-34 in a vote hours earlier with bipartisan support, extending for 2 years a program known as Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. Biden thanked congressional leaders for their work. Dozens visited a memorial to the victims of a Columbine High School shooting on Saturday, marking 25 years since that tragedy. Visitors silently took to the memorial stones and crosses bearing the names of the dead and injured. J.P. McDaniel was at Columbine High on April 20, 1999. She says she came to the memorial because it has become part of her life.
Because this is part of my community and it's become part of my life. I was at Columbine on that day, and just to come and reflect a little bit, not to mourn, but to be happy and rejoice that people still remember and still carry on. And there's been so much good that has come from this, and that's what we need to remember.
12 students and one teacher were killed by two high school seniors who opened fire in Columbine High School on April 20th, 1999.